Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode, I think, number 14 of WP Late Night. I am Ryan Immel, joined by Brad and Dre tonight. How are you guys?
14 in the nizzle. We had the remix music going there. It was like, it was good stuff, man.
I like video for the sole purpose of watching Dre dance during the intro music.
See, if I wasn't riding the sliders and stuff, I'd get to watch that too. I'm gonna have to queue up the video after.
I thought you were gonna say if I wasn't doing this, I'd get to actually dance. I'm like, no, Ryan, me and you don't dance.
You don't need to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider what I'm doing dancing by any means. But thank you. I'm glad that's enjoyful to you. That's great.
Joyful. Wow. We might have a show title already.
Joyful. Write it down.
Yeah. Don't worry, I do. So how are you gentlemen doing? Like we say every week, it's only been a week, but it feels like forever. Too long.
Okay. Fair to Midland, man. Life is good. Life is good. In fact, I'm going to intro with this for me. My 8-year-old Emma she spent the last week in Florida visiting family. My mother takes my kids when they're 8 years old and takes them on a trip to Florida. Mm-hmm. They just got back today, so she was. She was clearly disappointed that she missed Father's Day, but she came back with some goodies for Dad. She got me a little, and I'm into ships. If you haven't noticed, I've got ships all over the place in the office. So she brought me back a little ship in a bottle, and that I was like totally stoked about it. So bless her, the little booger. She's about as energetic as it gets, but as happy as any kid I've ever seen. So thank you, Emma, for bringing that back to me. I love you.
Aw. Where's the aw sound effect, Brad?
Oh. Wait, that's not the right one.
That's not it at all.
That's the opposite of what I was looking for.
No, that's
cool. I got nothing.
There you have it.
Very, very cool. How about you, Brad?
I've been busy, man. Actually, I'm leaving in 2 days on a boat. A ship, I should say. It's a ship. Booyah. It's not a boat. It's a cruise. Mm-hmm. To Bermuda to get married, so... I'm excited, and it's kind of like, you know, it's going to get married, but it's pretty much like a vacation all in one. So I'll be out completely offline for a week, you know, no internet, nothing. So you can imagine the insanity that leads up to something like that.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm in right now.
Is the insanity. Paddles. So paddles ready, dude. You're going to need the paddles.
I can't wait till Friday when I can just sit back in a chair, grab a pina colada, turn off my phone and say, you know what? Doesn't matter what's happening. I won't know about it for a week, just about a week. So I'm excited, man. Plus, I'll be married. So sorry, ladies, but the Bradford's off the market.
Darn.
I hate to disappoint.
Yeah.
What's everybody drinking?
Oh, boy.
I got my standard.
Yeah, you know what? Apparently, this is becoming my standard shit beer. Another Bud Light for this kid.
You know, and you always make fun of me for getting Bud Lights at after parties, and here you are every show with the Bud Light.
Uh-huh. So that's the way I should have introed it. I'm drinking Brad's favorite Word Camp after party beverage.
Bud Light.
No, it's my favorite late night when I've had too many, so the taste doesn't matter at that point. So I'm more thinking of cost. Mm-hmm. What's the cheapest beer you have? I'll take 5 of those. Oh, I got my Diet Duff, man. My rum and a little splash of Diet Coke.
Doing the Fat Tire Amber Ale.
Booyah.
Booyah.
Brian's showing us both up. He's always got something nice over there.
Well, you know. I just don't even bother with anything. Not quality. I would rather not drink than drink something. But that's just me.
But doesn't it sound so good?
Oh, it does. Oh, it does. Man, you know what?
Thirsty.
I know what I want to start off with, and I want to sprinkle these throughout the show because last week we made a big point to tell people to give us reviews on iTunes, and we said we'd read them off. So I don't want to read all of them, but I just want to pepper them.
I love it.
Lightly seasoning.
Yes.
We won't read the bad ones. How about that?
Yeah, we skipped the 3 dozen bad ones, and we found like 2 good ones. Here's a good one. This is John Brown said, love the show. The show is kind of like hanging out in the hallways at a WordCamp. You get all sorts of inside tips and info about the latest going on in the WordPress community. So that's cool. That's on our iTunes page now. At this point, now that we have a decent review, we just need to wait for those numbers to skyrocket, right? That's how it works, I think.
We hope.
but that's awesome. Thanks, John, for the kind words about the show.
Yay. Thanks, John.
Yay. So, good bundle of stuff. Is any Anything happened to you guys interesting related to 3.4 since its release last week? Everything get updated all right? No weirdness?
No weirdness on my end. Running it on quite a few different sites, and it's been money, bro. I haven't seen any major conflicts. I know in the meeting, the dev meeting today, there's a few open items that came up that are up on track now, but I don't know that it was anything significant in terms of bugs or any issues upgrading. I haven't really seen too much traffic or discussion about it.
No, I think it's been good. I probably updated, well, not myself, but our client sites, we probably updated about 30-plus sites in the past week. Haven't had an issue. I've had a single issue, which is pretty amazing. Usually there's at least one plugin that has a problem.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's everything I've seen, it's been a really stable release so far. Awesome. Like Dre said, there's been a couple little, not critical, but major bugs. But it sounds like even a major bug in WordPress that affects a few percent is, you know, obviously that's still a lot of people, but it's still a small percent. So great release, seems solid. As usual, I mean, they do a great job. And this is every release that's like this, that gives you that comfort, that warm fuzzy of clicking that update button. It just makes that many more people want to update, which from, especially in the security world, Dre, you know, I know, we all know, update's key. So the more comfortable you can make people feel about updating, the more likely they are to do it. So
although we did
have these stable releases.
We did find, speaking of updates, we found, when I might have mentioned this last week, in the last couple of weeks, we found someone running 1.52, I think it was, in production. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, cringe.
Man, I haven't, every once in a while I'll log into something like, you know, a potential client comes, we log in, it's like 2.8, 2.9. Even that's kind of like, wow, like it's not that extreme, obviously, but even just the subtle differences, you don't realize how it's evolved over the past few versions until you go back to like 2.8, 2.9, 2.7.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Obviously, anything before that is like, you know, a slap in the face, but
it's been wild. So long since seeing that I'm actually going to link up that version of 1.5.2 in the show notes so people can go look at it. That is awesome.
I've always thought it'd be really cool if someone made an admin theme, a theme for the admin side of WordPress that would allow you to kind of revert the styling to the specific
that
major
would be cool.
changes. So, like, you could revert back to 2.7, back to 2.6, 2.5, you know, 2, whatever. Whenever those big changes were, revert it back. Just on the styling side, not the functionality.
It'd be like, you know, call the plugin a flux capacitor or something, WordPress WordPress time jump.
Yeah, exactly. That, something like that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of work for, like, pretty much no reason, but it'd be fun if it worked.
Yeah, well, I have all the materials for it, but I haven't finished the right display of it, but because I've thought about that same sort of thing too, and went the other route and just have like basically all the screenshots for every like interface on WordPress for each version, just because I have every single one of them running locally because I'm crazy. So I need to find the right way to like display all of those in a gallery or something to just make it really easy to pull up. Because like just the thought of trying to restyle the dashboard for each version release is a scary thought. But
yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as flexible as like the front end. You can certainly do it, but it's just not as, there just aren't many admin themes out there, and I haven't seen any in a while. I know there are a few, but you don't see it that often.
So I did want to bring up, like you said, Dre, there are a number of track tickets now, just a handful for a 0.1 point release, probably sometime in the next week. And the one that caught my eye, because it was something I think we talked about a little bit last week, particularly regarding the larger file size of the download for the last version, track ticket in, well, the track ticket in track that I'll link up
say
here
it,
in the chat
say
room.
Say it ain't so.
I know, right? Matt Mullenweg created a ticket called Retina All the Things. And even though a number of elements are Retina ready, there's a number of them that aren't. So they're kind of creating a game plan in that ticket for how to attack kind of retina-ifying, I don't know how you'd say that, all of the rest of the WordPress dashboard. So that's a fun one to watch, not only because they are kind of talking about different methods for doing it, which is something that I think everybody's kind of thinking about, you know, what's the right way to approach it, but also, you know, there's concern about, or not concern about, but it's a topic as to how to handle the larger file sizes, you know.
It increased to, I think they said about 500K just on the Retina images, if I remember what I saw in the dev chat.
I thought it was closer to meg, but yeah, that's either way.
It could be. I mean, it increased it quite a bit for sure.
One thing that I saw brought up in the comments of that, I think it was there, it might have been in IRC, but at least for the about, like the WordPress install, like about page that kind of gives you the new features and stuff, those images are, you know, pretty large on their own. So I think the idea of hosting those on WordPress.org and just serving them up on those pages was thrown out just to make those updates download a little bit faster. But yeah, so we'll see. So there's a list there.
Here's my take on this. Do either one of you guys have you ordered the new MacBook with Retina?
Nope. I'm about two months in on a brand new MacBook Pro 17. It's going to have to wait a while.
Anyone have the new iPad?
Yes.
I do not. No.
So one out of three. So I guess that's where I kind of have a problem. Like Retina images, cool, right?
Right.
But it's so early on in the stages of the web being Retina friendly, and WordPress has kind of always gone by what is it, the 80-20 rule?
Sure.
90, basically, if 80% of the people need it, they'll include it in core. Well, Retina definitely is nowhere even near that. It's not even near 20%. It's probably like 5% of people going to WordPress sites, maybe less. I don't know, because it's basically been all iPads up until like a week ago when the MacBooks came out, right? So they're basically going to, you know, add an extra meg plus, 2 megs, whatever it ends up being, of these Retina images for this really small percent of users that actually have Retina display devices. I don't understand why this is any different than a feature that, you know, only 5% of the people actually need, you know. And I understand the web is going this way. It's certainly going to get there.
Yeah.
But it's still a few years out for sure at the earliest, you know, but before everyone does everything in Retina from, you know, from the start and making sure that it can handle Retina, you know.
But Brad, if they get all of that done, then those really giant screenshots people have been posting will look that much better. I mean,
I'm definitely not arguing that it's cool and it looks good. But if you don't have a Retina display and you're increasing the download size by a meg or 2 megs or whatever it ends up being, I don't know what it's going to end up being.
And that was recognized too. If you read through, I think it was Jane who said that it's kind of lame that such a small percentage of users causes such a big file increase. We'll see what that ends up being once everything's kind of updated for Retina. But
And iPhones, I guess iPhones have the Retina. The 4 and the 4S have Retina, true. So, you know, there's a big percentage. I'd be curious what that percentage is. Maybe it's higher than 5. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 20. I don't know. But, you know, it's like I feel like if there is that rule in place, everything should follow it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everything should follow it. And I get that it's cool. It looks good if you have a Retina display. But I have no intention of buying anything that has a Retina display for at least probably a year or two.
But if you look at it that way, I would say that in a couple of years, anything that you could buy will have a Retina display on it anyway. So, you know what I mean?
Certainly could. It's kind of like having a HD TV and watching a standard def television. That's how the internet would be if I had a Retina MacBook. Like nothing's a few things are optimized for it, but not much. You know, I haven't had a single client come and say I need Retina graphics.
Right.
Not one. It'll happen eventually.
There's no question that it's staying at the very bleeding edge of the curve to get it done right now. But I think that's commendable more than it is confusing.
My website is just delicious. It uses no tables. It is ready for responsive type of capabilities. And oh my gosh, look at my retinas. Good times.
I think Dre might have just had an aneurysm. I'm not sure.
Two of them. That's good.
I guess the other piece of this is the fact that it's recommended for 3.4.1.
Sure.
Right?
Well,
I don't want to say, I don't want to be, you know, Mr. Wah-wah on this ticket, but it's, you know, minor releases are meant for bug fixes, security patches, period. You know, that's what they've always been. That's what everyone preaches. That's all they do. You don't have to worry about really things changing. It just fixes stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're shipping a bunch of graphics... You know.
Sorry, Brett.
No, I was going to say, it's not going to break anything, obviously, but still, it's like, it's not really the point of an incremental release. Well, I'm just going to keep cutting Dre off all night long, so anytime he talks. Go ahead, Dre.
Ben Metcalf just made a good question. Yeah, great. Imminent crash has happened early this evening. Ben's question was, do we think Retina display is going to jump into the Windows world? Because if it's not as awesome as Macs are, it's never going to become a majority, is it? And that's a valid point. I mean, if you look at the enterprise and how much of the market share Windows still owns today and will continue to hold onto for the foreseeable future, how far is that really going to drive in terms of Retina if it's just really going to be something that you're going to find on Mac products?
I mean, they got to eventually spread it, and it's not really a Windows thing. It's more of a PC thing, right? It's Dell. It's HP. It's the PC manufacturers. It's, you know, whether it's Retina or something similar, it's definitely going to spread. I mean, everyone's going to want it. Everyone already kind of wants it on the Mac side. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree it's certainly the future of the web. It's going to be more high resolution, more pixels, larger device, larger resolution screens, things like that.
It has to be. Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that that's the future of the web. It just seems, you know, bleeding edge is putting bleeding edge stuff into WordPress core. What we should be doing, maybe. I mean, I'm playing a little devil's advocate here. I'm not.
No, hey,
you know,
I'm
100%. I'm going to launch a site against this and get a petition. It's just like, you know, is it necessary at this point? I don't know.
I'm all for better graphics and awesome UI. Totally down with that. The file size, does it really affect anything in terms of adding 500K or whatever the endpoint is in terms of adding those graphics? It's not going to affect much. There's no real impact there. From a process perspective and talking about how things are added into WordPress core, was it time for that to happen? I don't know. I don't know that it was, but who am I to say? Getting prepared.
And Otto's in the chat room. He brought up a good point. He says even Retina graphics actually look better on non-Retina devices, which may be true. I haven't tested that. I don't know. Sure. I'm assuming if he says it, it probably is true. So, you know, if things are looking sharper, things are looking better, you know, that's good. I don't know if it should go into incremental release, but I'll leave that up to the powers that be that actually allow commits.
So this is, are we good with the Retina stuff now?
No.
I wanted to change the topic, but I don't want to step on anybody.
Let's start talking
better
about
iris. Better be a good
iris.
Segue.
Oh, you're listening to the Eyeball Podcast. That was weird. So, Jane Wells started an interesting conversation. This isn't about the next incremental release. This would probably be more for like a next version of WordPress type thing. It's much bigger of a change. She posted on her blog, and there's also a track ticket that I'll get into the show notes, but basically proposing navigation changes to the dashboard menu. Did you guys get a chance to read through the discussion on it? I thought it was
very lightly skimmed over.
Really interesting.
Yep.
So basically the two proposed changes, and they have to, and you should, you know, read her whole post and the track ticket and all the different thoughts people have. But basically, based on her experience trying to communicate to people the difference between posts and pages and the time that it takes kind of teaching new users about WordPress, there are kind of two changes recommended. The first one would be changing the posts label menu to blog rather than posts. And then the other one is to move the pages menu up so it sits just below blog. So the two are right next to each other. And I guess pages was moved down previously because posts and pages look too similar and people would kind of mistakenly click one or the other when they meant to click the other. But really, I think the interesting, because I don't think anybody would really disagree about, I guess, the placement and the relative importance of the pages menu. But this idea of changing the post label in the menu to blog, you kind of see people all over the map on it in terms of opinion, which I think is really interesting. What do you guys think about that?
Ooh.
I know, right? So
this is...
What if I write articles? I mean, like, I write articles. Mm-hmm. It's not really posts. What if it's not really a blog? I mean, I don't know. You're going to have 100 different opinions. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I mean... it's going to be the same thing, right? You're putting content up somewhere. I don't really have a preference in terms of the name.
Yeah,
I do agree that there may be some confusion with the way that it's set up now, posts and pages. I can see that for a new user that's not used to, you know, the back end admin stuff. But in terms of the content, I mean, just name it something. Doesn't matter. Changing the positioning might help with some of the ambiguity or the problems people are having there, but. Name it tacos for all I care. As long as I know that when I click that link, I'm going to get where I'm going and what I need to click, I'm good. You know what I mean?
That's true. Well, and
I wish I could click a button to add a new taco, like right in front of me, just add new taco.
That's legit, son.
That's the kind of content type everybody wants.
Now we're talking.
No, I think honestly, Dre, what you just explained is probably all of the power users. Thoughts on it from their perspective that, well, what is it called for it, practically my use? Probably doesn't matter because if I don't like it, I can change it to tacos or whatever, you know, no big deal. I think it's interesting to see different people weigh in regards to what's like the easiest thing for new users, right? For that 80%, that WordPress should be geared towards. You know, and Jane lays a lot of thoughts out. And what's interesting is towards the bottom of the comments there, Mark Jakewith weighed in saying that to him, post resonates more strongly than blog. It's something that you post at a particular point in time. It has a built-in sense of chronological flow. I posted it yesterday. Did you see my post? So, I mean, really, there's, you know, it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in getting fascinated.
The other side to that, what Mark's saying is like, in a post, especially if you're a designer or developer, a post to me is any piece of content in WordPress. And a lot of that goes back to all the freaking functions you have to work with. Mm-hmm. Everything's a post. It's like, what kind of post is it? You know what I mean? Everything's a post, a custom post type. Mm-hmm. And that's a real challenge we have when writing books about WordPress. Like anytime I say, oh, this, you know, add metadata to a post, I always feel like, well, are the readers going to understand a post could be anything? Or are they going to think this, you can only add this to a post? You know what I mean? So I've almost gotten the habit where I'm always like post, page, or custom content. Like I'm always kind of explaining that it doesn't just have to be a post, because everyone's kind of stuck on the idea of a post as a post.
So are you saying then that having the blog sort of top level menu item would be easier or make things simpler?
You know, honestly, I'm really on the fence, because I thought about this for quite a while and I'm like, initial thought, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I think that's my initial thing anytime there's a change. I'm like, I don't like it. There's a change. I don't like change.
Yeah, because I read.
But then I kind of thought about it, and I was like, you know, maybe it does make sense. Maybe it would make sense. Right. And I thought from my client standpoint, it probably would make sense. Like, all right, that's your blog. Now, it would be nice if there was a way I could just say, we don't want a blog on the site, and it just kills that. Now, obviously, I can do that through code, but an option, which is next to impossible to get into WordPress. But, you know, honestly, I'm really torn. I don't know which way I should go on this one. It's tough.
I'm kind of where it sounds like we have the same thought process, because my initial reaction was, no, I don't like that. But then I had to step back. I was like, wait, why do I not like that? Is it just because I'm used to it being this one way?
And yeah, I always try to think that, too, because I'm not a big fan of change, especially on UIs. And I'm like, oh, like when they lighten the header, I don't like that.
Right.
And then like a week later, I was like, yeah, this is okay. I was like, it's not that bad.
I
always try to chill out when my initial thought is like, I don't like it. All right, step back. Like, do you really not like it, or do you not know whether you like it or not, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at now. Like I'm torn. I need to think about it a little bit more. I'm not a huge fan of the term blog, because it's ever since 3.0 and even before, everyone's been trying to get away from that term in the WordPress world far as like the power users, the developers, the designers. We've been trying to get away from that term blog. That's what everyone says. I still get people today that say, oh no, it's just a blog. Like really, you still think that?
Sure,
like
it's common,
2012.
Yeah.
You still think that? But there's, you know, millions of people, hundreds of millions that still think that. Term back, I think, is the biggest thing that people have a problem with. Do we really want to use that term, blog?
I'm on the fence about it as well. Hell, at this point, go ahead and name that content and then post every piece of content under that. You know, who knows?
And we actually, the blog conversation, or just that whole blog discussion came into it as well with people on both sides. One said, hey, this would just bring up, you know, the whole is WordPress just for blogging conversation again by putting it there, because people are just going to point to it and say, see, it's for blogging. And then others, and I think Jane as well in the comments, said actually this would do the opposite, because it would show that WordPress is larger than a blog, because there's the blog and there's all this other stuff that it does too.
Both sides of the argument. I think this is one I really hope. I love the fact she posted out there. Let's get the conversation going, because change like this seems very subtle, but this could have huge impacts on where, you know, WordPress, what it's conceived as a couple years from now. You know, just a small change like this could have a major impact. So she's definitely doing it right. You know, put it out there, see what the community thinks, get some feedback, get the conversation going, you know. Go back and forth, and at the end of the day, hopefully it comes, you know, after you read all the comments and read the whole post, and there'll be a concise reason why it should go one way or the other. This is how you should do stuff like this.
Yeah, it's definitely something worth watching, so I'll make sure that all of that's linked up in the show notes. Well, I was told in the chat room, Dre, that I was to leave segues to you, so I will stay quiet.
I
take the reins.
I was blacklisted from doing that, so that's... You know, way to put me on the spot.
You've used up your quota.
Blacklisted. I think I listened to that segue about the parking the car, and I don't even know, like 10 times in a row. Just crack it up. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, but we're all friends here.
Actually, hold that thought. Oh, WordPress 3.4 just passed 1.7 million downloads.
Wow.
Atta kid.
I'm picking up where I left off. I think the last show we were at, what, 120,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was close to that. Yeah,
that was about, in that ballpark. That was about, like, what?
That was a week ago.
Yeah.
1 week ago. And now we're at 1.7 million. So that blows my mind.
Well, if it's ever going to happen, this would be the right forum. Oh, look at that. See, I started it, guys. I started it.
You did.
You
totally did. He's back.
Yeah. Brad is back, right? Will the real Brad Williams please stand up? Oh my gosh! Yeah, let's get threaded here. So BB Press 2.1 Beta 1, June 18th. So in the last couple days, we had it tagged. Have you guys had an opportunity to check it out?
I actually haven't played with the beta yet, but I saw that it happened. I'm guessing that's the same for you, Brad.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with it. We've been doing a lot with the BB Press plugin as far as we had a lot of clients that were on the standalone version.
Right.
So really excited when the plugin came out. We waited, you know, a little bit for it to kind of the dust to settle because it was such a big change. And then we've actually migrated every single one of those clients into the plugin, which is great. So now that it's in a plugin, new versions don't scare me nearly as much as they used to when it was standalone.
Sure.
So I'm just happy to see, like, it's active. It's still moving. You know, new versions are coming out. John and the team are doing a great job in keeping it, you know, keeping it evolving and growing, which is the point. You know, it was, like, dead there for a couple of years. I mean, much thought it was not coming back to life. And somehow it did, thanks to John, mainly, Trip J. So... it's just great to see it keep rolling and keep coming out with new versions.
See, now I'm even more excited to check it out because Pippin Williamson in the chat room said that the 2.1 update is awesome, a huge improvement. Apparently, a full editor on the topic reply. Okay, so we've got to check this out.
All right.
I mean, is there like a release notes around what's been improved or just that it's out?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if there's anything aside from a change log, probably by downloading, like, you can see what's
just
new.
Just curious. It seems to be, like, especially on sister projects around WordPress, BB Press, Buddy Press, some other ones, you know, they do good work, they release versions, but if you're not actively kind of monitoring the whole development process,
it's harder to track down.
And that beta comes out, you don't really know without going through, like, every track ticket and trying to figure out what actually was done. What's in it? You know, what's in it? What should we be testing out? You know, for one, what are the new stuff? Obviously, there's going to be some very visual changes, I would imagine. But what are the, you know, what are the changes in it? Is there a codex? Dre, I see you linked it up. Is there a codex page on that? Because I love those articles. I love when 3.4 is coming out and they kind of build the codex articles are going. That stuff is awesome to me.
It looks like there's a link, but the page isn't up yet.
The only thing I'm seeing there in that codex is version 2-1 there. It's got some stuff in there.
I think that's just like a broken 404 page or something. That's what it looks like.
No, it's coming up here, bud.
Okay.
I get it. Yeah. Maybe got to be logged in. I don't even know if I'm logged in, but.
So is it? Okay. So is it showing? So it's showing codex pages that have been tagged with 2.1?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I see. Okay. I was confused. Well, for a second, it looked like it was just showing like a blog roll or something or a list of blog posts. But since there are functions there, I see what it is now.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well,
it sounds like the upgrade process is pretty smooth. Pippin's saying he's upgraded from 2.0.1 to 2.1 beta without any issues. So that's always a plus too. Certainly, especially on a beta 1, you know?
Cool. Well,
definitely cool, though. I mean, hats off to see it. Keep developing, keep evolving. I mean, I think we all love Buddy Press for the simplicity of it. You know, compared to other. Or I'm sorry, BB Press compared to other.
We love Buddy Press too.
Did I say Buddy Press? Sorry, BB Press. The simplicity of it, you know, compared to other forum packages that have been around for 20 years and they're so hefty and so bulky, you know, it's
V-Bulletin.
It's definitely, pretty much anything really, because almost every forum thing has been around 15, 20 years at this point. You know, it's, anyways.
Hey, take a picture. It'll last longer.
Also being prompted, in the chat room to mention Buddy Press 1.6 Beta 1.
Yes.
Which was just yesterday. So that's something to look at, too. We didn't have it in the show notes, but I'll drop it in there now.
Yeah, and that's exciting, too, because, I mean, Buddy Press 1.5 was a big one. I'm just looking up the dates here, but I think the development was close to a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So to see them come out with 1.6 in a much quicker fashion is exciting. I'm sure they're excited about it too, to kind of get back to more of a regular release schedule. Because I know 1.5 was a biggie. Had to restructure a lot of things and make them a little more streamlined. So again, we do a lot with Buddy Press, so it's excited to see new versions come out. And the beta one just came out yesterday. Right?
Looks like Paul Gibbs said in the comments too that while they don't have a feature list up yet, there will be one in the next couple of days. So pay attention to the BuddyPress.org blog for that. So there's a couple. I know one thing I definitely want to bring up, but before we go forward, I want to thank tonight's show sponsor, which we do have. Lovely to see people supporting WP Late Night. It's actually Harvest again. I remember they sponsored a couple weeks back. Harvest is a we'll get the link in the chat room there for everybody listening. Boom, boom, there. So Harvest is a time tracking application, a web application that makes it super simple to track project hours and bill clients. I don't use it for billing clients because I don't do client work anymore. But it's still fantastic for tracking sort of project time and keeping track of kind of logging your hours, which I still do personally. It's great for both cases. It's even better if you can bill people. So I would really recommend using it for that.
Billing people is great.
Yeah, it is fantastic. We actually, I think, mentioned the last time we plugged Harvest that they do have a WordPress plugin, which I haven't spent time with, but that's out there if you're looking for kind of cool ways to integrate services with your WordPress site. There's an iPhone app and there's a Mac dashboard widget, which is the stuff that I primarily use with Harvest. But they have literally, I think there are dozens of ways that you can enter your time and your project.
Android, for us Android users. Yeah. We're not all iPhone users.
They got it covered, basically.
They have a ton of add-ons, and I think that's what impresses me the most with these guys. I mean, they have... I'm trying to count quickly, but I mean, there's got to be 60, 70 plus add-ons and hooks into various services of every type of basically project management app you could think of. They have a hook into that, a plug-in, an add-on, whatever, including all the mobile devices. So I love companies that do that. You know, they build a great service and then they have ways that you can use it with whatever you use, you know? So,
and that's really,
these guys are doing a good job.
That's really the key, I think, for, I mean, this is kind of going the developer side of things, but I think what's sort of key for any successful service is how the API, how robust and I guess strong the API is. And it's nice to see so many people taking advantage of it for Harvest. It looks like there's a few people in the chat room that have used it. If you haven't, you can try Harvest for free for 30 days. And that's after the free trial. You can use it for free for 30 days, which is their trial. And then you can also have another 30 days at half off using the discount code WP at checkout.
Do it now.
Do it. Really, you should go use. I mean, if you're doing any sort of work at all, I mean, let's be honest. At the very least, you should be trying all the different services out to see what works best for you. You should especially be using Harvest because, honestly, I think it's kind of the best one out there. It should be easy and fun to track your time. Otherwise, you won't do it, in my experience.
So. It is the next generation of online project management. And speaking of next generations, it's a new generation.
Look at that.
A new generation for Next Gen Gallery, as they've been acquired by photography. I don't even know how to say this.
Photography. Photography. You gotta say it. What is that accent even?
Photography.
Oh man,
it's a interesting move. I'll tell you. I saw them Next Gen becoming a bit more active on Twitter lately, which is interesting. I haven't seen too much of them in a while. I personally don't use the product, so I don't have too much to say there, but it's always great to see anything that's been around the WordPress community for so long kind of continue. Maybe a new life to it, maybe some new fun stuff coming down the road. But I like their little image here in the post, photography and Next Gen Gallery sitting in a tree. any thoughts around this, guys?
You know, it's funny. I totally missed this when it was announced. I didn't even know until it showed up in the show notes. I did not catch this at all. And this is pretty interesting. Like, I recommend NextGen if you really need, like, a robust image gallery with, you know, multiple albums and stuff. Like, you know, the built-in image galleries in WordPress are fine. They do some basic stuff well. But if you need, like, multiple albums that you can put in single posts and stuff, you know, you really need something like NextGen to do that. So we've done a lot of work with NextGen over the years. I'm just looking on the popular list. It's This isn't ranked by downloads, but it's got to be. It's definitely top 10. It might even be top 5. They're at almost 5.3 million downloads.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt, it's the most popular like gallery management plugin.
Oh yeah,
that WordPress
has easily. No, so this totally makes sense for. This totally makes sense for the. How do we say we're going to call this? Photocracy? It's like Socrates with photo.
I think so. Photocracy. Oh.
Photocracy.
I could be saying it wrong, but that's how I've always said it in my mind.
It just flows off your photography.
In my mind's eye.
Photocracy.
That's totally makes sense for them. I mean, it's really cool. You know, when, as soon as I see stuff like this, I'm like, how much did you pay? How much? You can tell me. How much? It's like, I just want to know how much they paid, you know, because obviously. What's his name? Alex Rabe, I believe is his name. Just looking here. Nope, it's Photocracy. Sorry. I think Alex Rabe or Rob was the original developer. But, gotcha. You know, honestly, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more because there is a huge, like these plugins that make, you know, or like in even like the top 25 plugins, top, even probably top 100, you know, a lot of them are over a million downloads. There's a value to that. You know, there's, I'm surprised more companies aren't going after these developers trying to basically buy them because they immediately have an exposure to how many installs of WordPress. You know what I mean? The next time next gen updates, there'll probably be a bunch of, you know, stuff back of the new owner and whatever. The links will be changed over to them and stuff. So they're immediately going to get, obviously 5.3 million. That doesn't mean that's how many sites they're on, but
right.
What, 25% of that maybe? You know, even 10% is a good number. I mean, it's so they're immediately going to have exposure to that many people. I'm honestly surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Well, big kudos to them. Again, I mean, with the history there, they've been around. I know that since I can remember, in terms of being one of the big or the biggest gallery plugin for WordPress next gen. Very good to see. I hope it continues their growth and good for the acquiring organization.
I really hope they keep it up because honestly, this is one of those plugins like there's no true competitor. You know, there's nothing even near what NextGen can do in the WordPress world. So for some reason, this plugin died off. And there's a lot of plugins that you could kind of say that about that are in the, you know, that top list. If this plugin died off, it would be a big hit to WordPress. Somebody would have to fork it immediately and come out with a new one because I think, in my opinion, it's that important to have a plugin like this out there. So. It's really cool to see that. I really hope they keep it going and add in some really cool stuff and, you know, keep it awesome.
Well, according to the website here on the release of the acquisition, there's some big plans ahead. So very good stuff. Very good. Be interesting to see what type of premium things happen here and how the pricing model works there or if there's any changes at all in the coming time frame. Speaking of price changes,
so I think we missed this last week.
What the
what you're segueing to?
The segue you just exploded. Thank you.
Just chopped in half.
You were far enough into it. Everybody got it.
Well, yeah. So so this one time, Envato, I believe
Envato.
It's Envato, updated their pricing for all the themes on ThemeForest. We may have missed it. I don't remember what date it was released.
June 4th. So we really missed it.
Yeah. So we missed it like three times fold. But in the WordPress category, there were some pretty interesting pricing changes there. Four brands is what it's being broken down into. So you can get a simple or single page theme for between $25 and $30, a standard theme between $35 and $40, and it ranges all the way up into really highly complex themes for about $60.
And I think now, I think previously it was pretty much all the themes were like $35 ish, right? I'm not entirely sure because they don't exactly say what the old model was. They just say here's the new pricing structure. But I seem to recall that's kind of where themes tended to be priced. I mean, there was a little bit of flexibility there because ThemeForest would actually price all of them themselves, but I don't know for sure.
That would be interesting for me to better understand because I don't know how exactly it works. Is what's the impact to the actual theme author? Does that impact their pricing? Their percentages that they're getting from Envato? Were there any changes there? Because I don't see any of that outlined.
I believe it's all still the same. Which I know it fluctuates depending on you know what your sales are, but I think they. I think they typically do, I think it's less than half, I want to say, starting out. I should pull up those numbers. I know they have a page up that has all that information on it.
But sure.
What I think is, and there's actually, rather than listen to us three schlubs talk about it, or maybe in addition to, because I wouldn't want you to go away right now, that new podcast we mentioned last week from Mike McAllister, Chris Molitor, and Jake Caputo, they talked about it on their last episode last week, and they all three develop themes and sell them on ThemeForest. So go check out their last episode to hear kind of a point of view from their perspective, because they're the ones, or at least they're sort of a cross-section of those that are directly affected by stuff like this. I did see one slightly cynical comment, which did make me chuckle. Somebody on Twitter, I forget who, but it was somebody lamenting, basically saying, great, they're encouraging ThemeForest authors to make more complex WordPress themes. Like, that's what the community needs, is some overreaching, perhaps, yeah, in order to get a more expensive theme put up there. So there may be some truth to that.
Hey, we should have more themes with options to control your options page for you to be able to develop short codes that are enabling you to implement short codes.
We need option screens to build out options, to create short codes, to then develop an additional theme, which has even more options on top of that.
Yeah, so it's themes within themes within themes with short codes in the options pages. I like it.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Envato.
Well, I mean, you know, and go ahead, Brett.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I tend to usually couch my criticisms of ThemeForest as, ThemeForest is sort of the easiest place to go and sell a theme when you're starting out and learning. So I think that's because of what they've created and how easy it is for anybody to go and like submit a theme and sell it.
Sure.
I think that's why they get a lot. I mean, because the barrier to entry is so low.
I would imagine they're not hurting. They're doing pretty well in terms of being a marketplace.
Absolutely.
I think that kind of goes back to one of the problems with ThemeForest, though, is that, you know, honestly, I hear more bad things about themes coming out of ThemeForest than anywhere else that sells themes, period. It's not to say they're all bad, but there's a lot of really badly coded themes that just aren't doing things correctly, and they have a lot of problems with other, you know, especially plugins out there where the plugins will break or bust because the themes aren't enqueuing jQuery correctly or JavaScript or whatever. You know, it's it's like there's not this rigorous kind of test on what they're selling. I don't know what they do if you try to sell a theme. I've never sold anything through ThemeForest. I don't know if they review your theme or if they just say, hey, that sounds good, sell it, here's the price, and they put it up there. I have no idea, but, you know, something needs to change because I see a lot of things almost daily about how bad those themes are coming out of ThemeForest, and so bad that I would never buy one.
You're being
there.
Corrupted by Carl Hancock's Twitter stream. He loves
Carl's definitely vocal
them.
About many things, including ThemeForest. I've seen it for a lot of other people, and when I see stuff like that, I immediately say, you know what? Why am I going to go there when there's 1,000 other theme shops out there that I could get themes from that I know have good stuff?
Well, I think there's. You know, there's absolutely something to giving precedence in your commercial theme searching to those who have stepped out, taken it upon themselves to kind of create their own brand, have their own site, you know, have their own shop, because there's more, it takes more work to do that. Right. And you're even more accountable doing that than you are on a marketplace kind of setup.
I'll tell you what, the encoded crap that comes through ThemeForest that we see clean up on a damn daily basis is about as frustrating as it gets. And that's my take on it. I'm not knocking what they're doing there, and roger that, but it's horrible. There's no vetting process whatsoever from a security standpoint.
Well, I think that's the thing that can be criticized then of the ThemeForest marketplaces, that it sounds like they can do more in terms of a review process or a more thorough one for the themes that do go up, because
I think
that's
what it is. And I mean, they're making money off it. I understand they can't invest $5,000 for every theme that they sell, but it wouldn't hurt to invest a couple hours to skim it and see what they're doing.
Right.
And I don't know what the process is, but I don't think they're doing much of that right now. And to Dre's point, security stuff, you know, we could, especially the more complex themes, I bet you money, you download 10 of the highly complex themes, and Dre and I will hack every single one of them.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what. Just look at their options page and look how much unescaped crap and unsanitized code is in there. Most of them will have it. It's frustrating. You know, it even following
sad because they look great on the front, but they're, you know, the back. Then
yeah,
people I don't buy based on the front. You know, I buy if I'm at the liquor store and there's a bottle that is like really shiny and cool looking, and there's a bottle of like vodka in a clear glass bottle, I'm buying the shiny, cool looking one for no other reason than the bottle looks good, right? And that's the same thing with themes. They look good, and the users don't know any better.
We're back in the 80s wearing WWF wrestling pants and mullets, bro. This is it's all good in the front, baby.
Speaking of time jumps, jeez.
Hey, business in the front, party in the back, baby.
Uh-huh. This just
that's how I build my themes.
Well, so all that to say, despite...
I'm sorry, party in the front. Never mind.
despite all of the issues that people might have with ThemeForce themes, the good news is you can now probably spend more money on them. So...
Yay.
It's good news for all. No, but.
Woo-hoo.
So there's that.
I do, to the point, I do like the fact that they are charging cheaper for mobile, smaller themes, more for advanced themes. I mean, I think that's fair. You know, some themes take a lot more versus other themes that don't take nearly as much. To have a flat rate across the board doesn't really make a lot of sense. So, you know, that I think is a good pricing structure.
Yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't plug, it's like a year old now, but it's still one of the greatest discussion on theme pricing. And that's Mike McAllister's editorial on WP Candy last year. I'm pulling up the link right now, so I'll drop it in. But if you're interested,
by the way, Mike McAllister's kind of awesome. Just saying.
Oh yeah. Just the title of his post about it was a hypercritical analysis of $35 WordPress themes. So I mean, how can you not want to read through that? And it's 238 comments, so it's worth linking up again every now and again.
Yeah. So pricing there, you know, that works. I think that even from a security review standpoint, even if they just inherited some, maybe not even everything that's being used to vet all the themes being put into the theme repository, that would be a huge step up from where they're at today. Following that process is pretty quick to review a theme.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very interesting to see them adopt a similar process.
Absolutely.
Yeah, run theme check, and if you don't pass, you don't pass. You know, at least that's one step in the door.
And I can guess your answer to this already, but just throwing it out there, what do you think the odds are if you took, you know, the most recent, or not even most recent, say the most popular ThemeForest themes, say the top 10 or whatever from the last month, and ran it through the theme check? How successful do you think they would all be?
It would not
surprise me if they all failed.
If they didn't all fail, it'd be a very, very high failure rate.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, that would be a great editorial on WP Candy, but
you know what?
You have to front the money to get those themes.
Hey, Brad and Ryan, I think we just found something to collaborate on.
I think we did. Brad, I like your angle of, well, that'd be too much money. Instead, let's send out some emails and say, hey, could you give us your theme so that we can shit all over it over here? can you do that for us?
We just look at it. We're not actually going to use it. We're just going to look at it for a little bit, you know.
Wow.
Analyze it, critique it.
We've got this post over here that we're just going to blast your work. No, we're not going
to
do that.
We just give ourselves an assignment. It needs to wait at least a few weeks. I got a marriage to get to.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the free theme. By the way, it's a POS.
Jay Mongoloid on iTunes said, best WordPress podcast out there. I just want to highlight this since we just talked about shitting on WordPress themes. This is literally the best WordPress podcast online right now. These guys obviously know their stuff, and it shows every episode. Keep it up.
I love
it. Man, there's the pressure.
Thanks, Mr. Mongoloid.
Yeah. Mr. Mongoloid.
Oh, man.
Well, that's your formal name. I don't know.
They will no longer listen to us, and that review will disappear very soon. Good times.
Hey, it's a positive review. Better stay there. We need them.
Well, let me see here. I think it's... Let me check our time here, but I think we can dip into some of the maybe stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're good. 49 minutes right now. This is awesome. Okay. Well...
Hmm.
We do have we'll save the scheduling notes till the end, because that's the best fit for those. What of our last four topics? Which one is most interesting to you guys? I know what is for me.
I would probably say the Facebook story.
Go for it. Well, Facebook story. It's a blog post about Facebook. Here, I'll link it up. You can talk about it. Or I can talk about it if you prefer.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So Steve Burge wrote up, and it got linked around, and there's a discussion that grew off of it. Blog post from sometime last week, 5 days ago. And it's kind of talking about the possibilities of WordPress as an open source rival to Facebook. which when I first read it, I expected it to be kind of about Buddy Press, because that's typically what people refer to when they're talking about sort of an open source competition to Facebook. But actually, he's talking more about the size of the platform and the ability to kind of tie all of the sort of separate WordPress websites together, either via WordPress.com or related features or, you know, plugins that kind of tie all these things together. So it's kind of an interesting little editorial that got a lot of people thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea, not one I've thought about. And you're right, when I first saw the title of the post just getting spread around Twitter, I immediately thought Buddy Press too. But yeah, I mean, what would happen if they linked all the, let's just say they linked just .org WordPress together. So you're talking roughly 35, 40, 45 million, somewhere in that range now, sites.
Right.
Running WordPress independently. Of that sites, you know, how many, if they did it in Jetpack, you know, how many have Jetpack? 1.6 million downloads. So maybe half of that are actively running it. You know, it's an interesting idea. Would it ever happen? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those interesting articles. It brings up a topic that I had never even thought about. And I think some other people kind of felt the same way. You know, what would happen if you kind of joined them together, and would people even be for that? I don't know.
Well, I think the what's important to think about is what exactly it means to have them joined together, right? Like what does that look like, or what's kind of tied to that? I mean, in a sense, you know, the way the majority of interaction happens on WordPress sites or in the comments, and anymore, you know, across different sites, those already do kind of feel tied together, particularly with the, and we actually should have mentioned this, but Jetpack added the WordPress.com commenting system in the last update, which I think was like last Friday, Thursday, something
like
that.
Yeah, end of last week, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's
which
already...
Which was off by default as a point, so...
Yes, it was, that which is also worth highlighting.
Who would have thought?
We'll chat about that after this segment.
Yeah, yeah, but...
But I you're mean, right, they're...
Kind of integrating with Gravatar and that whole thing makes at least the commenting experience, almost no matter what WordPress site you're on, seem somewhat tied together, you know, because of these shared profiles and shared systems. So I think
it almost
really the
feel
question
like
is
where
how,
you're.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I was going to say it's almost like that your WordPress site would almost be like it'd be like OpenID, right, where your site is kind of like that's your account that you log into is on your site. And then when you go to other people's site, if you already logged into your site, it would be authenticated. Right. So. It'd almost be like, more so than just linking the sites together, it would be, like you said, linking the accounts together and allowing me to go to WP Candy as I'm logged in from my blog and comment automatically. And you would know who I am, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't have to log in again. So it's almost more like an OpenID provider within WordPress than it is, you know, this kind of massive social network through your WordPress sites. Because it's not going to... Yeah. When you think of Facebook, you think social network features. You think having a wall, friends, messages, all that stuff. But... Linking
isn't
WordPress,
Disqus doing that
it's
already, though?
Really gonna be
if you're logged into Disqus, isn't everything kind of interrelated wherever you're posting right now anyway? Well, any other site with Disqus enabled?
Well, yeah, Disqus lets you log in through your various social network accounts. So, like, you log in through Facebook, and it would make you essentially a Disqus account through Facebook, right? So if you go to another site that has Disqus, you would automatically be logged in via Facebook.
I think, and I'm
or
trying
Twitter
to.
Twitter or OpenID, they have like five, or, I don't know, they have a lot of different services you can log in through.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the quote. Yeah, here we go. This is from a while ago. This is from December 2010. But when I read this whole kind of competitor to Facebook thing, and particularly the kind of stuff that we're talking about, it reminds me of this quote from Matt Mullenweg and Tony Schneider, who were interviewed at Le Web. So I'll link it up here in the chat room. But that was where they kind of each talked about this idea of unifying the dark matter of the web. I think when people talk about WordPress as a platform or as a community, as a rival to Facebook, it's really kind of touching on this idea, which is that, you know, if you Facebook has a huge pull, Twitter has a huge pull, and then what Matt referred to as the other, you know, has, which is composed of all these different sites and all these different people doing kind of their own things, and that's, you know, a huge amount of the internet, a huge amount of a huge traffic source. So, you know, this idea, you know, I think this was, what they were talking about that day is sort of a precursor to Jetpack and what was done there, this idea of unifying all of that together. So that's what it makes me think of when
I dig it. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's last week we talked about people saying, hey, where's kind of Facebook at and Google at in terms of being able to publish content, becoming a competitor to WordPress. And this is just completely the opposite in terms of WordPress really playing in that social space, if you will. Very neat.
We also mentioned the Jetpack comments were added. So I think it's kind of tongue in cheek referred to as the WTF comment system on WordPress.com, because you can comment sort of, there's a tabbed interface and you can comment with your WordPress.com login information, your Twitter information, or your Facebook information in that order. So if you look at the logos, it actually does say WTF.
What the Falcon?
What the comments? And so now, via the latest update to Jetpack in the last week, you can add that to your site, which has been easily the top requested Jetpack feature that I know of. And as far as I...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool to see that they actually released the feature off, which a lot of people were concerned that everything they would release would automatically be activated. And some of the features they've released have been. But they state that it's such a big change that they didn't want to enable automatically. And it would have been a huge backlash if they did, because it essentially drops right on top of your comments. It overtakes your comments.
No, it would have been awesome. You know, we would have had another kick-ass Mark Jakewith plugin to disable it by default. We would have been good.
It would have been a riot, for sure.
Another reason to promote that.
Well, yeah, apparently it's. I've just been watching some people. I haven't actually tried it myself. I've seen some people on Twitter talking about it and how I guess it's not as flexible as, you know, say WordPress comments, where there's not, you know, once you turn it on, there's not much you can do to kind of work with it via filters and various other things. And it's not working with a lot of the plugins that work with WordPress comments. So I've seen a little bit of that, but, you know, it's a big feature, so it's probably to be expected there might be a few bugs or little issues here and there. But
right.
Well, I like seeing the fact that they left it off, you know, give people a chance option if they want to turn this on. And it's cool to see more stuff go into Jetpack. So
I'd have to think it's partially a technical reason, too, for leaving it off, because, I mean, if it was on by default, I mean, how many people's themes out there who weren't put together properly would just break because it wasn't expecting the comments to be replaced, or maybe it wasn't building out the comment form in the right way. I would think that was be so tied into the theme that there'd be no way to guarantee that it would work for even half of users, let alone, you know, more than 80%. I haven't used it. I played with it a little bit, but I kind of like my comment form. I don't know that I'll change it.
What is WP Candy using again?
Just comments. Just WordPress comments.
Whoa, get out. You're using WordPress comments?
It's actually, since we're talking about comments, and this was one of the things that I wanted to link up, because I was happy to see it as I pull open the link. Not too long ago, I believe it was Syed, but I'm actually not sure. So editorial staff at WP Beginner wrote about why they moved away from Livefyre commenting system. And I was happy to see it because I've never commented using a Livefyre. I don't know if you're familiar with the Livefyre comment system, but I've never used it. And so I was happy to see that they're not going to use it so that I can happily comment there, because for some reason there was some mental block with me and using that system. I didn't want to. Anyway, so they wrote an interesting...
That was funny. And full disclosure, we actually built the Livefyre plugin for them, at least the initial version. So
nice. Well, you did.
I like whether, you know, I'm
you
not
did great work. No, it's...
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I actually have no
it
idea.
Is on VIP now, so...
Yeah, no, I've never used it. I guess I... It hasn't, really has nothing to do with Livefyre. I just always kind of tend to not want to use sort of... Not really complex, but kind of a certain comment platforms just turn me off. So I've never been able to really get behind them. But they wrote an interesting piece about why they decided to... why they initially fell in love with Livefyre and then why they fell out of it and now what they use. Which is also, speaking of, I mean, it's not the Jetpack comments, but they do integrate with some social stuff down there too as far as logging into comments. So take a look at how WP Beginner does it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and this is kind of cool. Like, the article itself is cool because it kind of goes through these various points. I think he has six major points that he goes through, and kind of this is one thing we wanted initially, and this is why we liked it, and this is what happened. So it's it's not just kind of this blog post that just goes out and says, this sucks, you know, we want something better. They actually detail why they don't like it and what isn't working for them. So and this is good feedback for Livefire. They should really look at this, and this is the type of stuff they should be reading and say, okay, well, is this stuff, is this something we can change? Is this something our users want us to change, or is this like a one-off thing? You know,
that's
so
crazy. Their fourth reason is that Brad was involved in the plugin. That's crazy.
I'm reading through this. I should say we were involved with the initial version of the plugin. Sure. So there's been some releases since that we haven't been a part of, but and some of them mentioned here how you can't work with it via WordPress. Moderating your comments via WordPress.
Right.
Or initially, I know you could.
I think it's
so,
like a one-way sync.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. There's always these kind of pros and cons when you do this kind of hosted commenting. Via Livefire, Discuss, even Facebook comments, the Jetpack comments. I mean, there's always going to be this give and take, you know. Kind of got to lay out what exactly you want from your comments. What are your priorities? What are your have-to-haves? And what are your nice-to-haves? You know, and then find a system that works, because they all really work a little bit differently. So I always kind of explain that to clients. You know, you kind of got to look at the pros and cons. What is it you really want from your comments? You just want the ability for people to log in via Facebook and Twitter and comment? Well, they pretty much all do that, you know. So what else do you want? Do you need real-time analytics and stats, you know, detailed stats on who's commenting and why and where? Some do that better than others. You know, there's a lot of them. I haven't actually seen a good breakdown of comparisons between all these various companies. Have you guys, like, what's the pros and cons and what are the major selling points for each one? I haven't really seen any articles like that.
Me neither. I actually haven't. Probably just due to my own silly dislike for
making all sorts of work for you standard. Tonight, aren't we?
I know, man. Quit assigning me shit to do. programming notes. We've got a couple for next week, Brad. You will not be with us. Don't cue the cheer because we'll all be sad.
Epic fail.
There you go.
Brad won't be here. Sorry,
so
guys.
So sad. I don't even know what we're gonna do, but we'll manage.
Well, I think we might have a couple of tricks up our sleeve.
I think so. We'll make it work.
Yes, you gotta totally replace me, and you'd be like, you know what? It's cool. We got it. We don't need you.
I'm gonna have to fire up some soundboard action, but I don't know if I can. We'll see what we can do.
Well, actually, as we discovered just before starting the show, I need to be careful each week that we're bringing the right Brad Williams onto WP Late Night, because it turns out that there is another Brad Williams now in the WordPress world. Frankly, I'm not even sure we're talking to the right person right now. I don't know how. Let me check the video again.
You know what?
Okay.
You know, I have a pretty common name, and there's a lot of Brads in the WordPress community, but I never thought there'd be another Brad Williams, so that could be a problem. I might have to take care of the situation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But that was our weird little plug for bragthemes.com, which is apparently run by a Brad Williams.
Yes. And our other sponsor.
Yeah, no. Well, just so people can hunt him down if they're interested. And if he's listening to the show ever, he can crap his pants. I think, do we do picks now? I think we do. Oh, I wanted to mention I'll be speaking at the WordPress Columbus meetup tomorrow night in Columbus, Ohio. So if you're around there, stop by, say hi. Otherwise, I think we're good to run into picks. Do we have any?
Well, I think we need to read off a couple more of these reviews before we...
Go for it. Give me some highlights.
I think that last one's pretty cool. Drinks plus WordPress equals awesome. It is the most fun I've had throughout the week learning about WordPress. Great topics, fun hosts, and even better, banter about the benefits of having sound effects. I'm with Brad. These guys are great. This is Mimi is my favorite, which, I'm with
Brad. That might be the best username.
Yes,
more sound effects.
Kudos, my friend.
That's what I like to hear.
No, we just landed on this idea again just 10 minutes before starting up. Maybe it was earlier today, actually. We need people interested in sponsoring Brad's sound effects. That's what we need.
Yes.
We need a
sound effects sponsor.
That's what will bring the show full circle, and then I'll never be able to complain about them again.
Well, I'll tell you, anybody really interested in sponsoring, we're going to continue to grow this, and we'd like to talk to you about how we can team up to make this a bigger, badder, more kick-ass show.
We've already got step one out of the way because Brad's out next week.
Wow. Yeah, no animosity
here. Whoa. What? Jeez, man. I'm definitely going to have to listen to next week's episode because my ears are going to be ringing.
Yep.
Like, oh, it's Wednesday. I bet they're talking about me.
No, you'll listen to it
as I'm on a boat a week later. Paradise.
Yeah. we'll send it to, we'll throw a bottle in the ocean with a USB drive in it.
It's good stuff. USB drive. I like that.
I know I have a pick. Would you guys like me to start for a change?
Well, I have a recommendation. I added it to the show notes. Not a pick.
That's fair.
For me, what I'm throwing out there this week is, you know, there's probably other WordPress groups out there that are online, maybe using Facebook. This one specifically strikes a chord with me because I grew up in Orange County, and these guys are about as active as I've seen for any type of online community like this. The Orange County WordPress group out of Southern California here is about as active as it gets. They have regular meetups. They've got regular end user meetups monthly. They also have developer meetups monthly as well within the same group. So they've got a couple dates set up every month. It's absolutely consistent. They've got great speakers, a lot of awesome topics that come out of it. But what really hits me or drives it home for me is their Facebook group. And if you go to facebook.com/group/OC WordPress, you're going to see the interaction there. And I'm talking, you've got some like super duper geeks that are coding like NASA level stuff. That may not be saying much. All the way to folks that are just starting out with WordPress. And the level of assistance there and awareness around the different products, the different ways to do things, standards, and the whole nine, they're really driving it home. And I'm not sure what their actual core group number's up to right now. But it is a thriving community. And if you need a hand or you want to help out with other folks that are really thirsty to take down some of the WordPress love, go to the group, OC WordPress on Facebook. You will not lose out.
Looks like they have 346 people in that group, which we have a page.
Yes. And, well, yes, being that I'm being pinged from one side and the other one dropping dimes, we put out a WP Late Night Facebook page last week. And if you go to facebook.com/WP Late Night, you're going to catch up with us there. Not much going on yet. We just started the group. There's probably 70, 80 folks involved on the page now, but we would like to see, you know, people interacting there. We'd like to see people maybe dropping some ideas for the show, some tips, back to the sponsor piece, and, you know, any of the fun stuff that goes on those Facebook pages. We'd love to see some interaction there. So WP Late Night on Facebook.
I'm actually just I'm sharing what we drank tonight on the wall so that there is some activity.
Because that's what Facebook is all about.
Isn't it? I don't know. Maybe I'm using this wrong.
No, it really is. I'm serious. That's what it's all about.
For real.
I got a pick. I got a plug-in. You know what's funny? I don't know.
You might take mine.
All I ever do is a plug-in pick. Okay. Seriously, folks. I have a plug-in called Import Users from CSV, and I'll put it in the chat room here. This is a really cool plug-in. I used it couple weeks ago on a client site. It's not that popular. It only has about 15,000 downloads, but what it allows you to do is import users from a CSV. Surprise, surprise. So you can take a CSV file, and all you have to do is match up or rename your columns based on the fields within WordPress. So username would be user_login, you know, email, user_email. And it will automatically import those fields, user_pass, it'll import a password. Into WordPress, and anything it doesn't recognize will be added as user meta on that account. So, and it actually comes, a really nice feature, it comes with an example spreadsheet. So in the plugin itself. So if you're confused on what I'm talking about, there's a spreadsheet in there. It shows you exactly how you need to form your spreadsheet or your CSV file. But it makes it super easy. I imported about 1800 users in a site, and I spent maybe 10 minutes, just running a couple tests, and doing a dry run on a few files and then running the bulk upload, and they all went in. You can even, there's even an option to email the username and password to the new users if you want. So it's a really, really cool plugin. Saved me a lot of work, written really well, and it's really not that well known. So Import Users from CSV. Check it out.
Import Users from CSV. I like it.
I think I've actually used that once in the past. Small world.
Yeah,
it's a nice one. I actually tried a few different ones, and this one was by far the easiest to use, in my opinion, and actually had the lesser downloads or least amount of downloads from the other ones.
You know, a great question in there. Why would you need 1,800 users, Brad? Are you creating some like automated spam bot craziness going on there? What's going on there, dude?
Don't worry about it.
Wouldn't you like to know, he thinks. Mine is also a plug-in pick. Saw this mentioned in the last week or so, I think in an interview or maybe after an interview on Twitter. It's an auto plug-in called Pluginception, which I'll link up in the chat room. If you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat.
I'm a little scared. Is it a plug-in within a plug-in within a plug-in?
It's a plug-in that allows you to quickly and easily create new plugins. Otto put this together because I think he explains it here in the FAQ. First of all, he says, you know, there's a question, is this safe? He says, nope, not in the slightest. You've been warned. Of course it's not
Otto.
Safe.
I love Otto.
But he said, this is Otto, he said, because I frequently spin off new plugins in order to paste a simple code snippet into handy places, I know the code works, I've already tested it. Having to then encapsulate it into a plugin, fire up FileZilla, navigate, upload the plugin, it was a pain. This gives me an easy way to create a new blank plugin and go to the editor to paste in the known working code. So depending on how you, that's where it's most useful, is if you regularly kind of within your development environment, or if you're cowboy coding on
this
a website somewhere.
From the guy that was promoting the plugin and theme editor on our show.
Yes. He clearly uses it.
Do not try this at home. I like it.
Yeah.
Do it on a production site and do it tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Do it now. Actually, do it live on the show. We're waiting for your IRC channel.
Just good luck finding the right Brad Williams that said to do that.
Yeah.
Look, get that Mom, no up. Hands.
But also, if you're not interested in the plugin, at the very least, check it out because he's got a killer plugin header image for that one.
No, that is pretty slick. I like that.
So Pluginception is my plugin pick.
Pluginception. It'll grab you by the boo-boo.
What?
Yo, dog, I heard you like plugins in your plugins.
Yeah, do you have a short code for that?
Oh, Brad, you're such a douchebag.
but he's one of the nice ones.
See, and here's why. Let me explain that, because that's a little, that may have come out wrong.
Just a little lot of it.
So,
wow, I feel the love in this room tonight.
So at least when Dre reviews our podcast, which you both get, you know, whatever credit for, I guess, doing that. I star reviewed it, but I didn't leave a comment. Dre, at least, I can recognize his username. You, though, not only snuck in yours using J Mongoloid that we mentioned earlier, but you left it in our show notes, and then you even let me read it off like it wasn't you. And then you just let us know in our little producer chat what happened.
This is
and
what
I'm
I do, my
you
friend.
I'm calling you out on that. How many of your Amazon reviews are you?
I refer to myself as Mr. Mongoloid.
listeners, this is the tipping point, and we're signing off for the last episode of WP Late Night.
Yeah, exactly. It's all
hey, you know
now.
What? I blame you. You know my Xbox handle, and it's the same thing.
You know, now that you say that, it does ring a bell, but I guess I don't spend enough time playing with you on Xbox to recognize.
You know what's
that
funny
is
I didn't even know you. I didn't even realize you had usernames in iTunes. I always log in with my email. I had no idea I have a username. And then when I saw that show up in the show notes, I'm like, hey, that's me.
I guess I'll just leave it there. Wow.
I'll leave it there and see what happens.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, man.
So now.
We love your review.
This is a
podcast ever.
I am actually tearing up. This isn't out of dismay. It is out of pure my godness.
At the very
I think Ryan repeated the quote twice. Literally the best podcast ever.
I guess I should be happy that at least you're at least you were honest enough to come around eventually and let me know. And like I said, in the Skype call we have here, but man, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to your chuckles as you sat there and listened to me read what you wrote.
I giggle a little bit. I'm good at playing a straight face, man. I'll let it ride.
Smoking.
Wow. So yeah, there's a Pluginception, and I think we definitely know what we're calling this episode. Brad,
you're a douchebag.
Brad's a douchebag. Is that?
Wow. No, no, no. I think Mr. Mongoloid, obviously. But we'll talk about that in the after show. So, wow. So if you're not currently hosting this podcast, you can leave a review on iTunes and we will read it during an episode. If you are on this show and want to get it read, then just use a different username to trick everyone. Anyway, so there's that. Let's see. We're on Twitter. Of course, Ryan Immel, Williams BA, and Dremida. Also, the Facebook page we linked up. Let me think here. We've got a phone number and an email account that I'm going to link up in the show notes as well because it's been a while since
one calls or emails.
It's been a while since we've really promoted that stuff. But,
you know, guys,
did you kill the sound effect halfway through?
Yeah. I'll quit being a downer over here. Why even promote the phone number? Nobody calls me.
I like Aaron's review here, Dorbin. More beer, less Brad. Oh, wow.
Sorry, Mr. Dorbin. I thought we had a good time in New York, but maybe I was mistaken. That's good times. So I remember that.
He's just been out of shape about all your pink pony jokes since he's the one, of course, behind that.
Wow. Yes, he is the one.
That's our vote currently, right?
Well, folks, you know, in terms of emails and phone calls, that likely is not going to happen with two listeners. Okay. Two of them are on the call. I know one of us that's hosting and producing is not even listening. So it's kind of a mute point.
Yep.
I think we should close off with one last review. Hopefully it's a legitimate one.
Please do.
What do you think?
Read it off.
I think you should fire away.
I'll fire away. I'll give you the highlights. Brad, what'd you write this time? Let me see.
I only have one iTunes account.
A sweet WordPress podcast. This is an awesome podcast for all the WordPress geeks and aficionados, which is apparently what we are, I guess. I think I'll take the aficionado part. Let's see. A welcome variation from the typical podcast as it plays more like hanging out with a bunch of friends at a WordCamp and or the party afterwards. I've been tuning into the podcast frequently and recently sat in on Brad's great WP security presentation at WordCamp NYC.
Those hips don't lie, baby.
Thanks, Darren Roman, for the nice review.
I didn't even read this all the way through, and then when I heard the sweet, I was like, this guy's going to make fun of me. He's making fun of me by saying that.
Yes, and he does sure not enough. Like he's not a fan of the Mongoloid. Folks, I'll tell you, this is a sad day where we're having to read off reviews to keep the time slots filled. Good times.
Always fun. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out in the chat room and elsewhere, and we'll be back for another one next week. If you are listening right now or in the chat room, then stick around for the after show, which we'll record immediately following this. And that's it. That's episode 14 is in the can. Talk to you later, guys.
See you soon.